and people's frustrations with the criminal justice system. Often people will say frustrated with sentencing, but yet I think most of the issues people end up having are more on the front end, bail, because through my career of policing, oftentimes we'd be frustrated that we would make an arrest of an individual and they were on an undertaking already waiting for trial for a similar offense that they'd committed. So to me, it's those release conditions early on. And then on the back end of it, maybe it's parole. How quickly they get out, what integration back into the community looks like. Those are the two times where, especially when it's the high-risk, violent repeat offenders, that I think it irks people. And that maybe I'm using that word too mildly, but it frustrates people where things are at. But if we look at this, I've got a couple of cases that are both Canadian cases right now, one from right here in Saskatchewan, the other one is BC. And I've got two people that I work with that have some knowledge of this because of where they worked and what they've done in their career. So first off, I've got Sarah Hyde joining us, who is the assistant program director of News Talk Radio. Sarah, thank you for coming into the studio.
No problem, Evan.
And Sarah Mills, provincial news director, who's been on this program many times. Thank you for popping back in.
Good morning.
So two cases here, and maybe we'll start with the BC one. Sarah, because this is the British Columbia Review Board has granted conditional discharge for a man convicted of the brutal slayings of his three children. This is Alan Schoenborn, and you were in BC working in radio when this case played out. I'm sure this was front page news, headline news every day for a while.
This was a huge case in BC, and I will say not only was I in BC when this happened, but I actually moved up to Merritt just months afterwards, because that's where I got my first radio job, was in the community of Merritt. And this case, it was such a terrible case that really people, it was only ever talked about in hushed tones. Like, it was just that unpleasant to revisit it in Merritt. And I honestly thought, now, he was found not criminally responsible for slaying his three children, who were 5, 8, and 10. So young children. I honestly thought that he would never be released. If you followed the trial closely at all, the things that he said in court were just so out there and deeply disturbing. So disturbing, I don't want to repeat them right now on the radio, but clearly he was very mentally unwell, to the point, and paired with how heinous the crime was, I really thought he would never be in community again. So I was astounded to hear that last week he's been given a 1-year conditional discharge and will be in the community. There are conditions. So he needs psychiatric treatments. He's in supervised housing. He has to report any intimate relationships, and no drugs, no weapons, of course. But he's back out, even despite the fact that this is a crime he's committed.
And I think, you know, for most listeners, especially if they're just kind of hearing this update for the first time, you lost them after he's back in the community. Like, the fact, you know what I mean, Sarah? Like, the fact that you put those other conditions on, it becomes a little bit of just background wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
The point is, released back into the community. And you said it. I mean, he's found not criminally responsible, but did stab and smother his three children.
Yeah. And the thing I will say is, this is such an infamous case in BC that even a while back, he changed his name. So Schoenborn, that name is infamous in BC. He changed his name, and that was such a big deal that actually the BC government has now made it illegal to change your name
right. Following
severe crimes. So it really is something where, just devastating.
It's devastating, and it's shocking news. And I know it was big news in BC. I don't know that it got as much airplay out here, but it seems to fit nicely with this discussion. That's so. Sarah Hyde, assistant program director of News Talk, thank you for that. Sarah Mills, provincial news director, you were a reporter back in 2010. Was it 2010 when this Tammy Goforth first happened? Or no, 2012, I think, is when it first happened.
Yeah, 2012, and then the trial was 2016.
Right.
And it is the case of her and her then partner, Kevin Goforth, and the abuse that was laid down on two little girls in their care.
Right, there was foster parents, essentially.
Yeah, there was some familial relationship. They were sort of a cousin or an auntie of the mum of the two girls. And it was shocking in nature. It was a difficult trial. We reporters are trained to put personal feelings aside to deal with seeing and hearing horrors. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, that 3-week trial was horrific.
It's a tough one.
The autopsy day, being surrounded by family members, listening to that, the reaction in court, the crying, the wailing, the fact that they weren't on bail. That's the interesting thing when you then look at this day parole release that she was granted last week. They weren't in custody, so they were leaving the court every day at the same time as family members were leaving the court. It made for a very tense trial, a very tense atmosphere.
It would have, for sure. And again, just to remind listeners, Tammy Goforth, ultimately convicted of starving a 4-year-old child to death, abusing her sister. This was basically a conviction of second-degree murder and criminal negligence back in 2016. So she was sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole for 17 years. However, it looks as if she is eligible now for day parole. What is this, a decade later?
Yeah, and she is, and that's what we tend to forget. We hear this number as the public, and we forget that the parole process begins far sooner in prison while the person is serving their sentence, as Tammy Goforth has. And during that process, they have to show certain behaviors. They have to show certain remorse as part of their program of their sentence. And then along the way, long before that 17-year mark comes, you have temporary release. Maybe they have a job for 2 hours. It's supervised. Does that go well? And that's what's happened. When you read the parole board's decision, there are some interesting notes made that while she has been, in essence, this is me paraphrasing, not what's said by the parole board, but in essence, a model prisoner, someone you would want to have gone to start showing remorse, to try and have some understanding of what they did, possibly why. So it's punishment. Our system is punishment and rehabilitation. The punishment has been that for 10 years she's been inside, and now having shown the example, she gets day parole. She's not full parole. She's not eligible for that and may not ever get full parole. This may be her life from now on, but from August onwards, she will be in a facility where she will get to leave unsupervised, to go to jobs, to continue to receive treatment, and then back inside. If conditions aren't met, that gets revoked. She may find herself back in prison and the process starts again. But that full parole that we hear, that number, is a years-long process to get to that point. So we hear stories like child killer out on day parole. It's shocking because you don't feel there's been enough of the punishment side.
Well, I think, you know, that's part of this. As we look at these two cases, very different cases, but in many ways there's some similarities. It was children under the care of these individuals who, in one case, negligent and abusive, in another case, obviously murderous. Kids die as a result. Is there this continued danger to the community, perhaps different in the BC case, given the fact that the mental health diagnosis? But Tammy Goforth, in this case, there's never been any understanding of why this happened. She's provided no evidence to that.
And that's the last note that's in the parole board review and decision, that while some parts are redacted, it says the one thing that stands out to them, not enough to not grant her this, but she still today... she was under stress, frustrated by what she said was the girl's behavior, but still cannot offer insight. That's the word, offer insight as to the why, beyond what we heard on the trial, which was stress and frustration. And that's why they were misbehaved girls. So they had to have duct tape on their ankles and wrists, and they had to be tied to a door, and that, and they had to be punished by not given food. So it's those details that made this case so disturbing in nature to listen to, especially when you also knew there was a familial relationship there, and to this day still can't offer insight as to why.
And you know, as we talk about this, Sarah Mills, thank you, Sarah. Hi, joining me in studio. I mean, you're both mothers.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're talking about children here. And so all of us, the three of us parents, but people listening as well. I mean, this comes down to that question. Are there some crimes, regardless of these serious, you know, multiple serial killers out there, too dangerous to be released in public, but are there some crimes so heinous that you shouldn't be back up for parole? You shouldn't be coming back into the community. That's what this sparks for me. I don't know, Sarah, your thoughts?
I was just going to say this Goforth case, I was not familiar with it, having come from BC, but as it's been in the media the last couple of weeks, just hearing it, as I have a daughter not much older, I have a six-year-old, and every time the story would come on with the details, I would actually wince. Yeah. And I listen to a lot of radio as it's my job. And it's hard. It's hard to find the, I guess, forgiveness for something that is just, it feels so.
Or even horrific. Understanding, not even forgiveness, but I think understanding becomes very tough.
Yeah. And I was fresh off back off maternity leave and got to cover this about 2 months after coming back and having a year old baby. Yeah. And it really is hard to, and we're mothers, we're parents, we know the frustration, we know when we go to bed at the end of the night going, I didn't handle that one well, I raised my voice, I did this, I shouldn't have done that. You always second guess as a parent. It is hard to understand how stress and frustration can lead to that extreme. Mm-hmm. And when you hear again that there is no insight, there's some explanation as to why, again, the stress, the frustration, the difficult childhood background, being an Indigenous woman. And then you go, but is there enough understanding and insight that this individual has done? And I speak with some experiences. My father was a correctional worker for his entire public service career. Mm-hmm. And he often comments, when you look now that the punishment, it's punishment and rehabilitation. Are we doing, is there an imbalance as to where the punishment ends and the rehabilitation begins on some crimes? Because yes, there is a system, and she is part of our system. Tammy Goforth is just part of the system that exists in Canada. But the optics of justice to the public make one question in cases like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because is that balance there?
Sarah, thank you both. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate you both joining the show. So, I mean, I think what this does is it opens up a broader conversation, and I would love to hear from you. 1-877-332-8255. You've now heard three different stories, the two recent ones we talked about, and then the conversation that we just had just after 10 o'clock with my guest, Lisa Kerr, the situation in Ontario, the young fellow who brought a handgun to a funeral, ended up basically taking a couple of shots from the handgun in retaliation for a drive-by shooting that happened. Many people pointing out, yes, but he brought a handgun to a funeral. There's lots to consider when you look at bail, you look at sentencing, you look at parole. Have we got it right? Do judges have the leniency, or do they have too much leniency? And is that part of the problem? We'll take our break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. We've got lots of texts coming in and some calls on the phone line I want to jump to. We're talking basically about the Canadian justice system, predominantly looking at bail, sentencing, and parole. There's some cases that we're talking about to illustrate some of the kind of the different sides of the spectrum. What needs to change to make it better? Let's bring Gail into the conversation from Regina. Gail, your thoughts on this topic?
Well, today, hearing about Tammy Goforth's bail, I just actually am so sick to my stomach because they were living on the same block, and we never knew that they had two girls in the house. Did anybody ever hear the girls crying or anything? And They have two boys that would play outside on the street and never mentioned a word. But what happened to her husband? He was a time-ticking bomb. He actually threatened my son, too, when they were living there.
So you lived in close proximity to them then, is your point?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the situation, Gail, thanks for the call, is one that has got a lot of people. I see a number of texts coming in. Tammy Goforth, the Regina woman convicted of starving a 4-year-old child to death, abusing her sister, who lived, but obviously there was need for immediate intervention there. Sentenced to life in prison, no chance of parole for 17 years, 10 years ago, and now she is being looked at for day parole with, yes, a strict list of conditions, but nonetheless day parole because the parole board has listed Goforth as low risk to reoffend, despite the fact, as Sarah just pointed out, has yet to given any explanation as to why these offenses occurred in the first place. We will keep the phones open and the lines open going into 11 o'clock here. I want to keep this conversation going. Shoot me a text or give me a call, 1-877-332-8255. We will be back with more discussion on what needs to change or what are your frustrations with the bail, the sentencing, and the parole systems of the Canadian justice system here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.